curious to me is I think about that passage that God has set eternity in the hearts of man, and
yes.
It seems like God did that for you in a particular way, in a specific way. When I was a teenager and I thought about heaven, I thought it was only boring and snoring because it was just this worship environment that I couldn't dial into in any way.
And, right.
And I think in some ways that, you know, that typifies how a lot of people view heaven. But there was something that obviously happened in your life or in your experience or in your theology where God set eternity in your heart or before you in a specific way. And how would you describe what that is? Was there an experience? What exactly happened there?
Yeah, there were actually a couple of things that happened, Dave. One was the death of my mother. I had the joy of leading my mom to faith in Christ. I grew up in an unbelieving home. I came to Christ when I was in high school. When I was a junior in high school, I was able to lead my mom to faith in Christ, baptized her at our church. It was just a very powerful thing. And she was just truly the most godly person. In such a short period of time, she grew so much in her faith in Christ, and she taught fourth grade Sunday school girls, and oh my gosh, she poured her life into them. She would spend 15 to 20 hours a week preparing for her class, calling the girls, visiting the girls, talking with them, and sometimes with their mom there, and just talking about life and following Jesus. And anyway, then we had our first daughter, and every Monday, my mom would watch our daughter, Karina, and then we had our second daughter, Angela, and right about when Angie was born, Mom started getting very sick, and then she was diagnosed with a terminal cancer, and in a very short period of time, she was gone and with Jesus. But in the last 30 days of her life, she was home at my parents' home, and there were three women in our church who volunteered to be with Mom virtually day and night. They were all three nurses, and trained nurses, and they knew what to do. And my dad, who was not a believer, who was extremely hostile to the gospel, was blown away that these three women would come over in shifts and care for my mom. And then, of course, I'd come over and visit, and every time that I was with my mom, almost every day, I would read to her from Revelation 21 and 22. And as I was reading that, Dave, it just hit me. It's not just when you read a passage once, and even you're doing a Bible read through, you read through it and you move on. You know, now arguably you end when you're in Revelation 21 or 22, but then the devotions, you move on to something else your next day. But it was such a strange experience to read and reread aloud the same passage. And what struck me was how tangible and substantial it was. It was talking about a city with walls and streets, and the walls were had these precious gems, which what's harder and heavier and more substantial than precious metals and gems and all of this stuff? And then it would talk about the river flowing from, the center of the city, from the throne, the tree of life growing on both sides of the river. So, okay, this is the tree of life, like from Genesis. Was that a real tree? Sure. Is this real? Well, there's every reason to believe it is. It's called a new earth, not a non-earth. It's an earth. And then the people are resurrected people. We know that. We're going to have resurrected bodies. We're going to eat and drink. And Jesus said that. You know, they'll come from the east and the west, and they'll sit down at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. All of this substance. I mean, Jesus ate in his resurrection body. He actually cooked fish for the disciples. He ate with them. And when he ate, it didn't drop down to the ground because he wasn't a ghost. You know, it was a real situation. He says, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as I have. Touch me, feel me, see what I am, you know. And And anyway, I was seeing all that. Some of what I just quoted, obviously, is from the Gospels. But the environment, where will those new bodies live? Well, they will live on a new earth. These new bodies aren't going to float up in the clouds in the angelic realm. You know, substantial physical things don't just float forever. They have solid ground to stand on. God is going to renew the universe. God is going to renew the earth. Well, this struck me in a way that had never hit me before when I'm reading all this to my mom. And I'm thinking about, I'm doing it because I want my mom to hear the Word of God.
Yeah.
And to anticipate what awaits us all in the resurrection.
And God has a different intention in your heart in that experience.
Right. And so meanwhile, he's actually teaching me. And then when my mom died and was with the Lord, I thought, okay, I want to know about where she is right now, the present heaven, and I also want to know about where we will all live forever, which are actually two different things. And we often think of heaven as just one place at one time, the same, like heaven never will change. Well, in fact, heaven is the very presence of God. It's the place where God's throne is. But we're told in Revelation 21 that God, in verse 3 of Revelation 21, three times uses the word with, where it says God will come down and live with his people. He will be with them and be their God on this new earth. So what struck me was, as I studied then in years to come and then ultimately culminated in writing my book, Heaven, about 11 or 12 years ago, and I had written on heaven in my novels and in shorter books and all of that even before then. But what occurred to me was I had always thought of, since I'd become a believer, as heaven as us going up to live with God in his place. Now, that's true. When we die, we do go up to live with God in his place, what's called the intermediate heaven or the present heaven. But the ultimate truth is that God will come down to live with us in our place, the place he has made for us, the new earth. And that's what we're told, where the throne of God will be on the new earth, and God will come down and dwell with his people. And that is revolutionary, Dave, because I have talked with so many people who said, you know, well, the thing you said about, gosh, it just seems like, isn't that going to be boring? And even it seems like, isn't it going to be tedious? And well, an angelic existence floating around disembodied, it's just not what we were made for. God, you see this in Genesis 2, where he creates us, you know, where you have body and spirit together. He breathes into Adam's body the breath of life. And the body and spirit are to coexist, and that's the great promise of the resurrection. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, says, if the dead are not raised, that is, if we merely remain disembodied spirits, we are of all men most to be pitied. The Greek ideal of the disembodied Platonic, you know, idea of the disembodied spirit was not ideal at all in Scripture. It's something very, very different. God renewing the whole cosmos and us being part of it and being with him and with each other forever.